Stand together. Folks, come right on.
348. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. On the fifth now, when with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Great singing. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Amen. But thank God I am a sinner saved by grace. I thank the Lord for it. Yeah, I don't think you need your book, but if you do, it's 584. It says, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus, never. Glory to His name. Let's stand together, if you will. Sing it with me. Yesterday, today, forever.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never.
I want you to greet those around you. Keep your finger in the book right there at that page if you need the words to it, but the choir is going to come down. Fellowship a little while, and we'll get right into the next section of Romans 12. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never goes to His name.
Glory to His name.
Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in just a moment, Brother Mark's going to come and introduce our special for this evening. But before he does, I want to tell you about the books back here. If you haven't got books for next Christmas, Christmas gifts for next Christmas, if Larry Harrison were here, he could tell us exactly how many days it is till Christmas. But he's not, so I'll take a guess. 289. Is that close? Who knows? Okay. 289 to Christmas, so get your shopping done. But good opportunity, $10 each, and they get all three. If you buy all three, you get all three for 25. All three for 25. Very good. Very good. And if you get all three for 25, Dr. Wallace will write his wife's name in every one of them for you. He'll do that. He'll do that. And that in 4 bucks will get you a Starbucks. Tomorrow morning is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, right? But that doesn't, it pales in significance. It just pales till there's nothing to St. Patrick's Day. Because tomorrow is Mary Knapp's birthday. And Mary turns 99 tomorrow. So, tomorrow morning, why don't you bring her a little card, write her a little note. We'll have some kind of a piece of cake for you tomorrow, and we'll have happy birthday to Mary here at Founders Conference tomorrow morning on Thursday, March the 17th. Is that all right, Mary? Huh? I'll tell you what, right now, she could still outrun most of us. But what a wonderful, wonderful milestone of her life. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for when He brought her here. And now I'm going to tell you something. Mary wants to go to Israel one more time. The last few years, whenever she said something about it, I said, "Now, Mary, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that." How many times have you been, Mary? Yeah, 8 times. She's been there 8 times. She said, "But I just want to go one more time." And I told her, I said, "This year, if you don't want to go, I mean, if you want to go this year, we'll just get a wheelchair, we'll get a stretcher, we'll get whatever we need. If you want to go. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. At 99 years of age, if you feel like you can go and you want to go, go for it, girl. Just go for it." Now, I don't know what Bobby say about it. I don't know what your son say about it. But I'll argue with them about it. And I'll say, you know, if she dies over there, we'll just bury her over there and leave her. And it won't be long. It won't be long. We'll all be back together anyhow. But that's 99 years. 99 years. And going strong, and still sharp as a tack. I wish my hearing were as good as hers, Brother Mark. Oh, yeah, let's do the offering. I thought maybe we'll take up the offering from Mary. I don't know. But come on forward, guys. We'll receive a love offering for these guys that have, I have no idea how much has been given in the love offering. We won't look at that. We won't look at that until Monday. But I promise you this. We're going to take care of them. We're going to take care of them. And if whenever Monday we look at the offering, if the offering is more than how we've taken care of them, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll send them another check. Okay? We'll send them another check. The Lord has been very gracious this week and provided things for them. And they all got to go shopping this week. They all got to go shopping for new clothes this week. Now, men don't generally do that, but preachers do that. And they had a time. We went, most of us went on Monday, and then Brother Wallace went yesterday because he didn't get in time to go on Monday. But we had a good time. And it's fun to watch them tearing through things and looking at things and trying things on, looking at ties and shirts and everything like that. I'll declare it did look like a bunch of women at a white sale or whatever. I don't know. But it was good. Here you go, Bill. I hope you'll give. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege that we've had this week to enjoy the fellowship around your word. Lord, how good it has been. And Father, I pray now as we come to this time that we give and express to these who have come to be with us an appreciation for their time, for their ministry, for their dedication, for their service to us as unto you. And Father, I pray that you'll bless this offering. Make it a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's get our Bibles ready. In just a moment, Pastor is going to introduce the passage. And before he does, though, we're looking forward to the Robleses as they sing a wonderful song. Listen to the message, Faithful, Faithful, Lewis and Kathleen Robles.
Thank you so very, very much, folks. Thank you. I appreciate that. May we all be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Randy Parker has been greatly used of the Lord. I had the joy of going with him back to where he used to pastor in North Carolina. And took me to the building, and he told me about, now we support Mike and Cindy Haley. They're going to Botswana, and we support them. And he told me how he and Cindy got, how whenever they were building that building, he and Cindy got out there and dug the footers for the building. And he talked to me about that, and he knows it from below the ground up. He knows it from below the ground up. Then he went to Greenfield. He'd been there a while. Whenever we were, you still in North Carolina when we met?
No, we were Team Valley that time, and
but
I was,
you'd already
I was
gone.
Pastor North Carolina.
You'd already gone from North Carolina.
No, I think I was still.
You were still in North. You're still pastoring in North Carolina when we met.
30 years ago.
And we were preaching together at a camp called Teen Valley Ranch. And Alan had gone with me and ridden. You'd have to understand, I was younger back then. We rode a motorcycle. We rode a motorcycle from Macon, Georgia to North Carolina. Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And we rode up there and took our stuff with us up there. And I'm sitting there in the service, and this fella gets up to preach. And he gets up and he says, open your Bible. And he opened his Bible, and we opened our Bible. And I looked at Alan, and I said, I got to go back to the room. He said, where are you going? I said, I got to go get another sermon. He's preaching from exactly the same passage of Scripture I'm preaching from. So I've never liked him since then. I've never liked him. But then I started going to Greenfield to preach. And I said, how long are you going to stay here, Randy? Because it was, I could tell, it was somewhat a difficult situation at times there in Greenfield back in the early days. He said, I don't know. He said, Brother John, he said, you know, but I just kind of figure if I can't do it here, I can't do it anywhere. So I'm just going to hang here. And he did. And he's hung there, and God has blessed in an absolutely magnificent way. They have a weekly television program. They have a beautiful new campus, new auditorium, and in two services already. And now he's got to make up his mind whether to build another auditorium or what to do. And I pray God will give him wisdom. But he's going to be debt-free in July, and so he can do whatever he wants to do, I guess. And so, and the people are with him 100% on that, whatever. And I just thank God for him. Thanks for God for him being here, for his friendship. Dr. Randy Parker, open your Bible, Romans chapter 12, and here we go again.
Amen. A couple of years ago, my car lease ran out, and it was time to get another car. And so I just called the dealership and told them what I wanted. I said, now you get everything ready and I'll be up there. Just get everything ready where all I have to do is sign and take the keys and go. Won't be tied up so long. They said, we'll have it ready when you get here. So I got there and sure enough, papers were all prepared and I signed all the papers. I said to the salesman, I said, sir, if you don't mind, just I'm really pressed for time. If you would just let me have the keys and let me get out of here. He said, well, let's go out to the car. And I said, all right. So he walked me out to the car. He said, get in the driver's seat. I said, if you don't mind, I really need to go. He said, no, you're not ready to drive this car until you've had some lessons. I said, son, I've been driving longer than you are old. He said, not this car you haven't. So I got in. I said, let me have the keys and I'll put them in the ignition. He said, you don't put the keys in the ignition. You put your foot on the brake and push a button. 2 hours he sat there and explained to me how to drive that car. And you know what? I thank God when I got on the road, I had a 2-hour lesson before I slept. Now, I'm saying that to say this. I think the book of Romans, we come in and we want to jump right where we are tonight. Man, this is the good stuff. Beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present you. But all week we've been given the stuff we need before we get to this place. Before we get to these practical applications, we've been given the foundational truths that behind them. And they mean a whole lot more to you after you understand where the writer has been coming from to bring us to this place. And I appreciate everything I've heard, and I haven't understood everything I've heard. But I appreciate everything I've heard. I'm still chewing on chapter 9, and that's good, and I think I'll have some stuff to chew for a while there. But I believed everything I've heard and appreciated, and it is being absorbed even as we speak. But I want you to look to chapter 12. Now, the pastor has always given me a hard time about five-point sermons. Tonight, I've got less time than I've had all week, and I've got 12 points. I'm serious. Don't leave. Just wait, you know. When I get to five, if you can't stand anymore, you can go on and leave then, all right? But I want you to look at the remainder of the chapter there, and I'm going to just give you 12 B's for a better life. 12 B's for a better life. And it's amazing to me that if I'm surfing through the channels, you know, and I come across an announcement that says, listen to the program. We're going to make you a better golfer. I go, maybe come across a channel that says, listen, we're going to present some things to you, make you a better fisherman. Come on. I'm ready. Come on. But I'm sad to say that oftentimes when we try to tell people, I want to help you become a better Christian, we kind of say, oh, yeah, right, okay. I'd like to be a better golfer. Don't say anything there, preacher, all right? I'd like to be a better fisherman. I love them both. Love to hunt, love to fish. But I need to be a better Christian. So these verses here that we'll be looking at will tell us how to be a better Christian quickly. All right? Verse number 9. Be real. Be real. Let your love be without dissimulation. If you look over there in the center reference in your Bible, dissimulation means hypocrisy. Just be real. I think sometimes we try to define what kind of person people expect us to be. We try to analyze what kind of person we would best be, and we try to get into that fashion and get into that mold, and we try to pretend to be something we're not, and it just winds up a failure. The scripture here says, just don't be a hypocrite. Don't be in pretense. Let your love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. The pastor said a while ago something about Christian philosophy, and there is a great deal of attention needs to be given to our philosophy of life. And this verse says, hey, just ground your life on this truth. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good, and just be yourself. Amen. I appreciate people who are real, don't you? I just got a problem when I'm around somebody that's just, it's all about presentation. It's all about being viewed instead of just be real. Just be real. Get your position on the things of God, on the Word of God, on the characters of God, and then just stand on that and be real. Verse number 10, be kind. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I love the balance of the scripture when one in verse number 9 there tells us, just be real, but be kind. Being real does not give you a license to be rude. Amen. Being real doesn't give you a license to be unkind. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's just the way I'm wired. Well, you need a wiring job. Amen. Nobody likes a jerk. Amen. So be real, but be kind. And it just gives a description of that. Be an affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Sometimes I think we feel like we need to pat ourselves on the back if we just learn to tolerate people. Well, God didn't tell us to tolerate them. God said to love them. Amen. Now, some people are difficult, but if everybody was like Pastor Reynolds and me, we wouldn't have to be preaching this stuff. Amen. But everybody's not like we are. And some people, it takes effort to love. Amen. It takes effort to tolerate, but God says, I want you to be affectionate one to another. Brotherly love, honor, preferring one another. Our preference ought to be other believers. Amen. That ought to be where we're attracted to. That ought to be the ones that we're most interested in and appreciative of is the brethren. All right? In verse number 11, be fervent. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, the word fervent is just simply going to tell us to have a little fire about us. Amen. That we're doing, we need to do wholeheartedly. That we're putting our hand to, we need to do with all our might. Don't you love to see people who are excited about what they're doing? Isn't it discouraging to see people dragging around and moping about? And you want to say, boy, they love their job, don't they? You know, it's just very evident. They don't care. Half-heartedness and all that. That ought not to be in a Christian's life. Amen. We ought to be excited and interested and stirred and motivated for God. This world's got enough deadpans, all right? Christians ought to be stirred and excited about the things of God. Not slothful in business. Hey, listen, if you want to get started out real well in Christian testimony, pay your bills. Amen. Pay your bills. Don't be a deadbeat. Don't be one of those people that gain a reputation of, well, they're wonderful folks, but don't loan them any money. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So in verse number 11, be fervent, be fervent. Verse number 12, be consistent. I like this verse. I love it. I love consistent people. I don't care for people when you see them coming down the aisle, you don't know whether to pucker or duck. Amen? Well, let's see what kind of mood they're in. God help your soul. It shouldn't make any difference what kind of mood you're in. It ought to be consistent. Let's look at that verse. Rejoicing in hope. Man, when there's reason to hope, let's rejoice. When there's reason to praise, let's rejoice. When there's reason to be happy, let's rejoice. But then it says, patient in tribulation. Consistent. Not just rejoicing in hope, but rejoice in tribulation also. Amen. This world is looking for people who are consistent. And that's one of the things I think Paul is talking about when he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I'm not going to let circumstances dictate my consistency. Amen. I can rejoice in the good times, and I can rejoice in the bad times. I, many years ago, lived in North Carolina in the mountains, and we had a real bad winter. And they said that on that particular night, it may be the coldest night ever recorded in the mountains there. So if something like that's going to go down, I'm going to set up and watch it. So I had an indoor-outdoor thermometer, and I watched that thermometer, and it started dipping about, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it kept dipping, and it kept dipping. And at midnight, it was 18 below zero, and it kept going. It dropped to 23 degrees below zero, and then quit. I was pulling for 25, but at 23, it stopped, and then by daylight, had got up to a warm, balmy 19 below zero. Funny thing, though, that vial was right there reading that temperature from that sensor on the outside. But right beside of it was another vial that said 72 degrees. And it just stayed at 72 the whole time. I've watched that indoor-outdoor thermometer and the outdoor go up and down and up and down and up and down. But the indoor just stayed the same. What's the difference? The outdoor is reacting to the circumstances. The indoor has a sensor in there, in that furnace, that allows it to fluctuate just a couple of degrees. When it drops a couple of degrees, hallelujah, the furnace comes on. When it reaches a certain degree, it turns off. It keeps it consistent. I'm afraid sometimes people live their lives and they're reacting to the circumstances. The clouds come over, it gets cold. The clouds move, it gets hot. And they're up and down like they're riding a roller coaster. And man, that's a miserable way to be. We've got something inside of us called the Holy Spirit. And when bad things come, we might feel a little, but then He kicks in. Amen. And keeps us from the bottom dropping out. And then sometimes we get a raise. And we say, hallelujah, it's time to buy a new car. And the Holy Spirit said, no. He keeps us down. He keeps us up and He keeps us down. Best Christian life is being on a consistent walk with God. All right? Verse number 13, be generous, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Be a giver, give unto hospitality. Have you ever known somebody that was a giver? They just naturally was a giver. Now, I'll reference some more since the preacher said there, talking about the mountains there. There's always some old mountain grannies there in those hills that if you went to visit them, You'd just have great fellowship and enjoy the visit and everything. And when you got ready to leave, they said, wait a minute, I've got to give you something. And I didn't come for anything. No, just wait. Do you like apple butter? Is the Pope Catholic? Well, here, let me get you some apple butter. They're givers. It may be a pinch off of a flower. It may be some apple, but it may be some cake. It may be a half a pie. But they just can't let you leave without giving you something. Those are givers. Christians ought to learn to be givers. It's not about what we can get and keep and can. It's about sharing. Everything that God gives us, He gives us enough to share with somebody else. And can I tell you this? If you develop a lifestyle of giving, God will see that you've got something to give constantly. Amen. When you become a distributor instead of a funnel, God finds out who'll spread the good stuff. And He'll put it into your life knowing that you'll give. I may have told you about this fellow before. I don't know. I was thinking, preacher, the day, I believe I probably preached more in this pulpit than any other pulpit in the country besides my own. I probably had the privilege of being here more than anywhere else. So I may have told you this story before. But I used to preach some meetings with a guy who was a singer. And he traveled and did that full time. And he was just a generous, giving person. One time we went to Shawnee's after church, which right over, I started to say, but it's Nashville, North Carolina. And last night at the meeting, so we went to Shawnee's, and the pastor was there, and we were getting ready to leave. And Brother Bill said, "Pastor, that couple that sit right down there on the front row every night, they just seem like fine people. They looked Hispanic." And Pastor said, "Oh, okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, Bill. They're good people. They are good people." And he said, "Bill, pray for those folks. He lost his job about 3 weeks ago. And they're struggling. They were in church every night." He said, "Yes, sir, I saw them there every night." And you could just see the Spirit of God. And Bill reached in his pocket and he pulled out his pen. And they'd given us our checks. And he signed that check and he gave it to the pastor. And he said, "Just give that to him for me, will you?" He said, "Bill, you don't have to know." He said, "God will take care of it. You just give that to him." Giving spirit. Another time I was preaching with him, and we was killing an afternoon, and we went shopping. And went into an upscale men's store, and there was this a suit there, and it said clearance. And it was like, back then, this would have been an expensive suit, about $400, and it was on sale for $75. And he called the clerk over and said, "This suit, is that the right price, $75? He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Somebody, when they opened the box, took the box cutter and cut it the wrong place." And he said, "See here?" And there was a cut place right across the arm of that suit. And Brother Bill said, "I can take that to a tailor and get that fixed. Go ahead, I'll take it." I said, "Bill, that's not your size." He said, "I'm not buying it for me, but somebody down the road can use that suit." I said, "Hallelujah." I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and I met him and come up to him. He said, "Have you heard what happened to me?" I said, "No." He said, "I was preaching in Texas, and there was an old fellow there that liked my music. And we went out to eat a couple of times and just kind of appreciated each other, and he died." I said, "Well, I'm sorry." He said, "Well, I am too. But he left me $350,000. I said, "I love you, man. Come here. Give me a hug." He said, "Get away from me." He said, "Preacher," by then he had gotten married, he said, "my wife and I have had a blast. We've given almost all that money away." He said, "I told her, God didn't give us that for us. God give us that for others." He said, "We bought missionaries' cars. We bought an evangelist a motorhome, and we just enjoyed. You can't believe how much fun. You know why God gave that to him? If that man had left me $350,000, my first thought would be, oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz?" That's why God didn't give it to me. God gave it to somebody who would give it, that would give it. All right? Be generous in verse number 13. Verse number 14, be meek. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Meek does not mean weak. Meek is when you don't demand what's rightfully yours. Okay? Matter of fact, I believe the Lord was called a very, very meek person. He could have demanded a great deal. He demanded very, very little. But you know what the world tells us today? You've got your rights. I know my rights. And we want to demand what's ours. Lawsuits and all that sort of thing. Well, preacher, I deserve it. Christians need to bless them which persecute us. Not easy. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, be compassionate. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know what? It's easy to weep with them that weep. I assure you that if the word got out that while I was in Florida, the church there on South State Street caught on fire and burned to the ground, I would have people all over this country calling me up and say, Pastor, we're praying for you. If there's anything we can do, seriously, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm so sorry that happened. But if word gets out that we've had revival at Bethel Baptist Church and we've doubled our attendance and the offerings are tripled, people say, yeah, bless God, if I compromised, I could do that. We tend to weep with those that weep, but when it's time to rejoice, we get jealous. Now, what did you say, compassion? Compassion is when you enter into things with people. Okay? You can have sorrow for people and not have compassion. You can have sympathy without having compassion. Compassion is a compound word, calm and passion, together, suffer, or rejoice, or whatever. Enter into it with another. Verse 15, be compassionate. All right? Verse 16, be humble. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't use that word much anymore. I remember if some girl was in high school and walked around with her nose up in the air all the time, somebody would say, she's conceited. Preacher like talked about that a while ago. Having a higher opinion of yourself than is warranted, okay? But just be humble. Just condescend to men of low estate, it says. That isn't that precious? And the verse begins, the same mind one toward another. Don't be easily impressed and easily critical. Have the same mind. James is talking about that fellow who comes in brand new clothes from Men's Warehouse into the church and sits, and people say, oh, you come on up here. You come on up here. And then the guy who comes in tatters, sit there at my foot. So, preacher, that's just the way the world is. I agree. That's not the way church ought to be. You know what? When we see people arrive that are well cared for and have great means, be friendly. But don't do for them something you wouldn't do for somebody else. Amen. You'll regret it if you do. Be humble. Verse number 17, be ethical. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Ethics and principles and character. Well, preacher, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what all of the other chapters of Romans is trying to get us in such a spiritual state that we will practice what we're being given here. Be ethical. Don't you hate to question a guy's honesty and wonder about whether he's telling you the truth or not? Most of you remember a time when someone shook hands and said, it's a deal. It was a deal. Amen. Verse 18, be patient. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as life in you. If it be possible. So what this is saying is, go to the furthest effort. The furthest effort that you can make to make sure if you can't live with someone in harmony and in peace, it's not your fault, it's theirs. Live peaceably with all men. I put verse 19 and 20 together. Be gracious. 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. A lady came to the pastor and was talking about how unkind her husband was behaving and treating her not in a good way. And he looked at the lady and said, "Have you ever heaped coals of fire on his head?" And she said, "No, but I poured boiling water on him one time." Give thy enemy, if he hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Be gracious. The preacher so aptly brought out there a while ago, we don't want justice. We want mercy. We don't want what we deserve. We want graciousness. Well, do you know how to get that from God? Be a giver of that in your life. Can I tell you this? You hard-nosed, mean-spirited, that's about what you're going to get back. Isn't it amazing how people think that they can treat people one way and yet get a totally different response from people themselves? Can I tell you? Don't work. Verse 21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Be godly. If we respond to good with good, that's pretty well human instinct. If we respond to good with evil, that's demonic. If we respond to evil with good, that's divine. That's of God. The world needs to see a difference. I don't have any bones to pick with anybody in the way they dress or the choice of the way they do their hair or whatever. And sometimes, you know, we fuss about folks that want to be identified by their uniform. But you know what? We need to be identified by our spirit and our attitude and the application of good, godly instruction from the Word of God. I hope and pray that this week will make a difference in your life. I know we've got another day, and I'm not discounting that. But if we become authorities on predestination and foreknowledge, if we become authorities on justification and sanctification, and yet it doesn't change our lives, we've wasted a great deal of time. And we're going to have to give an account why all this that we've heard didn't change us. You know what? We ought to say, "Praise the Lord for the meeting this year." But your neighbors ought to say, "Praise the Lord for the meeting my neighbor went to. He's a different person." Husbands ought to say to their wives, "Thank God you were able to go to that meeting. It helped you." Wives ought to be able to say to their husbands, "Let's have another meeting next week. That helped you. That helped you."
What wonderful truth. Simple statements from these 13 verses, 12 simple statements. And I hope you wrote them down and got the bees. Got the bees. Put them in your hive. You never can tell. They may make a little honey in your life. That's good, Randy. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, let's stand together. Let's stand together. I feel like we ought to sing again, "Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day." And, well, I hope you'll be here in the morning. Now, bring a birthday card for Miss Mary Miss Mary, we're not going to sing it tonight. We're going to sing it tomorrow. You're going to be here tomorrow. If you're not going to be here, we're not going to bring you any cards. Is she going to be here, yay?
My bride.
Do I need to come pick her up?
My son is having surgery on Friday, and I'm married. My daughter's trying to make arrangements for me to get home.
Okay. Can some of us can come pick her up?
Yeah.
Okay, let me know.
If I don't,
you have my number. You have my number. Tom Fran will pick her up. Right there. Okay.
So,
Sally picks her up all the time. Aaron and Jenny will pick her up. I'll pick her up. How many rides do you want to have? Brother Shane was talking about this. I thought he was going to talk about the guy that fell down. He fell down. His prosthetic arm came off. His leg came off. His wig came off, and somebody walked up to him and said, "Pull yourself together." And guy jumped on his horse and rode off madly in all directions. Boy, is chapter 12 not different than 1 through 8? Oh. And all of this that we have learned and all these wonderful doctrinal truths have brought it so that we can live and be, not just act, but be this way. Wonderful truth. Father, thank you for this that in the way you've given your word we enter into now. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the very practical things that have begun to come our way tonight on the basis of the wonderful doctrinal truths that we've learned up to this point. Thank you for that. Father, I pray as we go from this place tonight, we will go as living sacrifices, living out the Holy Spirit's giftedness in our lives, and serving you by being for you and in your stead to others what we should be. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.